17 after 11. Really interesting documentary on tonight on RTE1. I'm looking forward to this one. It's on at 9:30. And it's all about who's buying Ireland. Ireland is for sale. So much property, so much industry, so much huge conglomerate companies. There's a lot out there at the moment that is for sale. It has been for sale, I suppose, for a long time. But there's a huge interest in it now. Ian Keogh is the deputy editor of the Sunday Business Post, the man behind the documentary tonight. Ian, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Not too bad. Where did this all come about?
Well, I suppose if you think about it, over the past couple of years, so much of Ireland has come on the market. You know, we all know about the property. Just, you know, there's deals being done every week, whether it's 50% of Ireland's or 50% of the Shelburne just being bought and sold on a regular basis. Yeah. You know, the semi-states are up for sale, large loan assets, you know, government debt. Everything is literally on the market. That one of the big consequences of a post-crash environment is that people have to sell things to try and get money. So even if you look at it, NAMA is selling tens of billions of euros in assets between now and 2020. Yeah. This year, the Irish Bank Resolution Corporation, the former Anglo, is going through a 22.5 billion euro fire sale of everything from department stores to loan books to hotels. Mm. So if you piece it all together, in the aftermath of the crash, you literally have a country that's for sale. And it goes,
Just one of the things I thought is interesting as well is there's so many, you're talking about all these companies, there's so many development companies now that had so much property. Even when you look at their portfolio, they own some of the biggest hotels in New York and London and Hong Kong. And also you've got all of these hotels now in Ireland. It's just, and it's at a good price.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a massive juxtaposition. I mean, during the boom, you know, we were the Irish people were buying hotels like the Savoy in London, buying up vast portions, should I say, of New York. All over the world, the Irish tried to buy it. And now the world, I suppose, is buying Ireland. It's that change. But if you take something like the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, it was built by Treasury Holdings. An awful lot of tax break investors came in. Beautiful place down in Powers Court. But that cost 100, 150 million euro to build. That's the cost price of it. Mm. You know, regardless of what people thought it was worth, that's how much it cost for a builder to go down there and start laying down all the bricks and putting in all the fancy interiors. That was bought earlier this year by a New York fund with international backing for maybe 2 or 3 million euro with a plus a bit of debt. That gives you, you know, where you look at Lochearn up in Fermanagh. Yeah. Again, you know, the G8 was on there. It's a fantastic property. It cost 30, 35 million sterling pounds to build. That's the cost price of it. It was on the market for 10, 12 million. So just, you know, that gives you an idea of the write-downs being imposed from the cost price.
Look, if I had 2 or 3 million, I probably would have bought Ritz-Carlton. As you said, it's a fantastic property. It's in a unique location, so close to the city. The Gordon Ramsay restaurant is there. But there must be huge losses. Who decides that something that actually, when the market is buoyant, is worth 100 million, is actually going to reduce it down to 3 million? I mean, so many people are going to lose their shirt on that.
Well, that's it. I mean, and the unfortunate thing about it is effectively the taxpayers have to pick up an awful lot of this, to be honest with you, Colin. If you look at the NAMA losses are being borne by the taxpayer. They say they're going to get back the 32 billion euro that they've paid, but they bought assets of 70 plus from the banks. So that's been picked up by the taxpayer. Again, whatever sort of losses are left out of the former Anglo gang, they'll be picked up by the state. So the taxpayer's picking up an awful lot of this. You asked, how can they get it? How can it be bought for these prices? I suppose that's what the market has decided they're worth. The great way to try and find out what something is worth is to put a for sale sign on it and see what offers come in. Yeah. And that's really the only organic way of doing it. And the problem is, even though we've seen a slight rebound of property prices over the last couple of months and people talking about little bubbles emerging, we're still down in commercial property, down 50 or 60% from the peak, and the same with residential. So while we've had some sort of a little bit of momentum in recent months, we're still way down on what we once were.
The people who are buying Ireland, are these the same people who voted in Forbes magazine and named Ireland as best country for business? Are they seeing something? Is this a punt? Is this a gamble? Or is this a professional enterprise saying, you know what, if I pick that up for 3 million, it may never go back to 100 million, but even if it goes back to 10 million, I'm up 7 million.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we never had in Ireland before was this idea of distressed buyers. Just it was something that was on Irish. Mm. But all over the world, in America, in Japan, all over the world, there is a massive market for vulture investors to buy distressed assets. That's what they do. They're professionals at it. They look to the beaten down market, the beaten down sectors, the beaten down country, and they go in and they look for something. They look for, some sort of fundamentals of an economy, but also they look for cheap assets. So that's how they do it. They'll move on from Ireland to the next country as soon as Ireland starts to recover, and they will sell down.
Ian, who are they? Name them. I want names.
Yeah, I mean, some of the people who we talked to were, you know, there's a guy we met in Beverly Hills called Bill McMorrow. He's the chief executive and president of this company called Kennedy Wilson. And from there, he's perhaps the largest landlord, commercial residential landlord in the country. I mean, this guy doesn't buy two or three apartments. He buys two or three apartment complexes in one big ticket deal. So, you know, Treasury Holdings collapsed. We know that happened. Yeah. He bought 18, 19 of their marquee commercial properties all over Dublin, from the Sulorgan shopping centre to the KPMG headquarters in Dublin. That was just one deal. He bought the Gasworks building, and his company bought the Gasworks building down in Dublin's Ring's End, and the hundreds of apartments that came with that. Clancy Quay down in Island Bridge, just down the road from Euston Station. Again, 400 or 500 apartments there. All of those, one single deal, and on and on and on and on.
Does he move from the side of his swimming pool in Beverly Hills to fly over, or does he have his people doing that? I mean, is this how big this guy is?
Well, he's pretty big. He came across himself, and like all these guys, they make a very personal decision to invest. They're not just relying upon somebody else telling them. So he came to Ireland, as he told us. He came to Ireland the week of the bailout, actually, in 2011. It's kind of funny now we're coming out of it now. But he came to Ireland back then, and he had 25 meetings in the first week or two. And he met everybody from politicians to business gurus and accountants and so on and so forth. And he decided Ireland was a great place to invest. Since then, he set up a Dublin office. He's bought significant Irish infrastructure to manage it, because the scale of what he's doing here is so big, you couldn't do it from Beverly Hills. So he set up an office. Another interesting guy we met, an Irish guy, was a guy called Luke Comer. He was an Irish guy, developer, lived in Ireland in the 1980s with his brother Brian. And the recession kind of forced them out, an earlier recession of the 1980s. So they moved across to England and worked on the plastering sites and did very well for themselves and got into property development and did really well and started doing some really fancy properties, the places where Lennox Lewis would have lived and the girls from Girls Aloud all lived, really high-end stuff. And a couple of years ago, they made a decision. London was looking heated, so they bought 30 shopping centres in Germany. 30 of them.
Wow.
And on vast acres of waterfront property in Berlin. But when push came to shove in Ireland and boom came to bust, they said, you know, there's an opportunity in Ireland. So they've been recently selling down some of their German properties to buy assets and properties in Ireland. So they've done about 30, 35 separate deals and put in €200 million, buying everything from stud farms to ghost estates to commercial residential buildings and on and on and on. Even out in Sandyford, you know, that half-finished skeleton building that kind of overlooks Sandyford.
Oh, yeah.
They bought that for €1 million.
And they're developing that now, I noticed. They're going to finish that.
They're trying to. They were talking about, you know, doing a very an interesting work office balance project out there, and I think they're trying to get that through the planning permission at the moment, which I suppose is an easier said than done. But
what about the Russians? I know the Russians at the moment, there's nothing left of Kensington that the Russians don't own, and Knightsbridge, they've come in and there's so much money there as well. Any evidence that there's a lot of Russian investment in Ireland?
Yeah, well, I suppose famously, Yelena Bachurina, Russia's richest woman.
Oh, for Fort Island. The Morrison Hotel.
Kang family from China bought Photo Island.
Getting mixed up with all these people.
there hasn't been a massive influx of Russian money and Asian money yet. But interestingly, what you see and the trend that we kind of noticed in all of this, if you're talking about the really big ticket stuff, I'm talking, you know, massive commercial properties, office blocks, it's investment funds that seem to be doing the buying, big American or European players. But if you're looking at five or six little properties, so, you know, maybe five houses on a row in Dublin, that's where an awful lot of the small-time investors, and that's where we're seeing increasing amounts of Chinese, Russian, Asian investors coming in.
Right.
You know, they're doing it themselves. They're turning up at an all-subs auction and buying it and cutting the check themselves. And we saw headlines last week, that the Chinese were buying up vast streets, but they're doing it on a house-by-house basis as opposed to buying up streets upon streets.
Right.
So that's kind of the juxtaposition. Maybe in a year's time we'll see more of their heavyweight funds come in, but there's been no real evidence that they're buying up vast chunks of it yet.
You spoke also to Tim Martin of Wetherspoons. A lot of people will be interested in this, not just the fact that it's Wetherspoons, but the fact that they could reduce the cost of a pint by about 20%.
When you think of Ireland for sale, you think of the properties, you think of banks and bonds and all of that. You don't think of pubs, but if you think about it, there's a pub a day shutting down, according to the industry figures, pulling down the shutters for good. So there's an awful lot of pubs for sale. Bank of Scotland Ireland are appointing receivers to pubs almost on a weekly basis now, and they finance so many of them. So there is an awful lot of pubs for sale. And Wetherspoons, you know, the ubiquitous British pub chain. They've 900 pubs over there. Wow. They thought that was a really good opportunity for them. They tried to get into Ireland before during the boom, but they were put off by the prices. They're not put off by the prices anymore because they're so cheap. Mm. So they bought a couple of pubs. They bought, you know, I think the 40 Foot out in Dunleary, Tonic in Black Rock. They picked up another pub down in Cork. But ultimately, they want to have 30 pubs, and that would make them the largest landlord in the country, publican landlord in the country. But we met Tim Martin, who founded the chain in 1979, and he was saying with their buying power and what they can do, they can knock maybe 15% off the price of a pint. And he wasn't overstating it. He, you know, if you go to the Wetherspoons pubs, you know, you can get a pint in your dinner for £5. That's the market that they tap into.
They are like the Tescos of the pub world. And there's one I've often been in right in the centre of Manchester. And if you're going over there for a football game or whatever, it's one of these places that you'll meet up with the lads. And now, while the pints are watery and warm, for some, that's fine because it's cheap and cheerful, you know.
Well, absolutely. We met him in a pub in Watford, you know, just on the outskirts of London. It was 11:30 in the morning, and I'm not used to being in a pub at 11:30 in the morning, but it was absolutely packed, and they weren't drinking coffee. People in there drinking pints.
I know, and the other thing is, with all the Wetherspoons, the walls are just filled with all these one-arm bandit machines as well, all going on.
Yeah, although he says he won't bring those into Ireland.
Well, we have a different law, don't we?
A different law, that they have to have some sort of law.
Just one thing, Ian, is this good? Okay, because, you know, we see all of this investment going in, Ireland is for sale. Does this augur well for the future?
Look, there's two ways of looking at it, Colm. One, we need all this money to come in. And we do. Let's be honest about this. This stuff is for sale. Irish people can't afford to buy it. So as opposed to it clogging up the banks and clogging up the financial system, somebody has to buy it.
Yeah.
And plus, you need foreign investment coming in. You know, we're a small, open economy. You need foreign investment coming in to Ireland to try and do it. And indeed, the level of international confidence is one of the big factors that's allowing us to emerge from the bailout in the next few days. But on the other hand, I mean, there are people who would say it manifested itself at a few auctions in Dublin that Ireland's been sold on the cheap, that international guys are buying it for a song, and they're effectively benefiting from Ireland's economic collapse. So there's the two juxtaposing arguments, and I suppose there's a big debate about how people feel about that. It's needed, but at the same time, there is a certain element of sadness of stuff being sold for so cheaply.
Well, I suppose the one thing there, though, is that if they're buying it at a song, it's because they know they're going to make a profit. So they're going to sell it a little bit more expensive, maybe 2 or 3 years down the road, which then starts pushing properties up around Ireland and then starts, you know, we're a little bit more interesting as an economy then, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a longer view to take on it as well.
There is. I mean, one of the interesting things we see, and I mentioned earlier, Luke Comer, he started buying, you know, 30, 35 properties. He said he's now reached the point where he's actually a little bit wary of investing in Irish property because there's so many international funds circling out there looking to buy the same properties. That's one of the big factors, that the prices are already going up. But look, if you can bring in international investment and try and create another sustainable economy, an ecosystem of property purchases, not like what we had during the boom. We don't want that again. I think everybody agrees that. But you have an economy that, you know, you need a certain element of construction activity in an economy. At the moment, we don't have that. This is one way, hopefully, that we might get back towards what we need.
Okay, well, listen, we don't want to ruin the ending of it. It's on tonight. It's 9:30. I'm looking forward to it, actually. Really interesting stuff. Inco, Deputy Editor of the Sunday Business Post, thanks very much for that. It's Who's Buying Ireland? Tonight, RT1 at 9:35. Talk to you again soon. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.